How's it going, everybody? Brent Elverson, Dave Meltzer here, Wrestling Observer Radio. It's July 27, 2026, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We got a lot of news to get into here today. And we got two nights of SummerSlam, and we have a lineup for both nights. We don't have a match order, but we can tell you what's on each show. And we've also got some info on what they're doing as far as the ESPN show. But very quickly, Saturday night has got the Bellas and Paige versus Fatal Influence in a six-person. Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, and Royce Keyes versus Jacob Fatu and the Usos, also in a six-person. Gunther versus Nick Aldis. Liv Morgan, Io Sky for the women's title. Brock Lesnar, Obafemi, Hell in a Cell. And the CM Punk, Cody Rhodes match. That's night one. Night two is Saturday. And by the way, this is six matches each night. We've got Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins.
And both shows start at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. We've got Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Charlotte, Chelsea, and either Julia or Lash Legend for the interim women's title in a ladder match. We've got Sami Zayn, Finn Balor in a number one contenders match for the WWE title. So the number one contenders match is taking place on a different show from the actual championship match. We got Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio. We have Trick Williams.
Money on the pole. $100,000 on the pole.
Yep. Yeah. We got Trick Williams, Baron Corbin for the U.S. title. Mm-hmm. And we have Penta versus Chad Gable for the Intercontinental title. So those are the two nights. As noted, they're going to start at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And nothing will air free on ESPN this time around.
Yeah. Saturday looks like the better show of the two, but we'll see how that goes. You know, I look at the lineups, you know, I don't think either show's a blowaway show. There's a lot of comedy on it, a lot of filler, but there should be some good stuff on each night. But yeah, so they're not doing any, they're doing a lot of stuff on ESPN. They were doing that, they're going to be doing talk shows. Cody Rhodes' show with Tom Brady's going to air over and over and over again. They got a countdown show that debuted Thursday that's going to air all over again. They're promoting it really, really hard, but they decided not to do the 1 hour. So my gut is we didn't get the ratings for the last two of the 1 hour shows, which I thought was interesting. However, there's no way in the time slot that they were doing those hours that they weren't way, 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 way above what ESPN would do in that time slot. So it can't be low ratings based on ESPN. I mean, it does much better than programming in that time slot would do. Now, if it was during college football season, that would be a completely different story, but it's not, you know. So the reason for not doing it obviously has to be that they must be unhappy with the amount of signups that they're getting or the viewership that they're getting on ESPN Unlimited, and feel that putting the two matches on ESPN was cutting into the numbers that they wanted and the numbers that are important to them, which is the money numbers. Not even the viewer numbers, because the money numbers to them are how many people subscribe on the day of the show. You know, that's where they really make their money on this deal, or don't make their money on this deal. So I think that tells you a lot right there, you know, in the sense that if they were happy with what they were doing, they would keep doing it. If the ratings were bad, of course you would reconsider doing it, but the ratings are not going to be bad. Like if it's 8 to 9 o'clock on a Saturday night and they have some big sports event that would beat it out, I mean, which happened often when they had UFC, you know, when instead of doing the prelims, they'd put it on. But still, you got ESPN2, you got ESPN News. There's always places to put it. The fact that they're not putting it there tells you that they don't believe the 1 hour show also heightens interest and gets people, like they did for the entirety of the UFC contract, where they always try to find somewhere on the ESPN networks to put those, it was 2 hours for that, you know, before the start of the pay-per-view, to get people to buy the pay-per-view. But it's a different animal. You know, that was, you know, That was selling a pay-per-view. This is not selling a pay-per-view. So it's strategy. It tells you, I mean, in the end, it tells you that they weren't happy with the number of people who are buying the you know, new people buying the subscriptions for ESPN Unlimited, because if they were, you know, they would have kept going and doing what they were doing. So there have been rumors of that from the start, that they're not, that they have been happy about the numbers. And my gut was at first that they weren't going to be, because it was limited how many homes could get it, and they were paying an awful lot of money. But now I guess this would be the first pretty much confirmation of that they're trying a new strategy, because they feel that the strategy didn't pay off. And the fact they're doing it on SummerSlam tells it even stronger. If they skipped it on, you know, like the show the month before, you know, the June show, it'd be one thing, and you just go, well, maybe they just don't need to do it on a small show, but this is as big as it gets other than Rumble and WrestleMania. So there you go.
It was also announced that if you have YouTube TV, you can now link it up for ESPN Unlimited.
You can for Peacock as well.
Yep, so ESPN was the last major, major holdout, as by 2027 will be the largest pay TV provider in the entire country, beating Charter and Comcast. Mm-hmm. So until this show, you could not link your YouTube TV to get ESPN Unlimited, but you now can. So that's been added, and they think that's going to hopefully add a whole bunch of people watching the shows, but we'll see. We shall see. All right, AAA this past weekend.
Yeah, they had the Verano de Escandalo show from Aguas Calientes. And the big thing was Grande Americano and Dominic Mysterio in a tag team against the Perros del Mal, which was Daga and Angel Garza. And, I mean, it's really good. 20-minute match. A lot of heat. Total, complete American style. Like, no, not even a semblance of Lucha Libre in the match. But, you know, the crowd reacted. And the crowds for AAA, they are very, very loud. Grande. I'm not sure Dominic didn't get a bigger reaction than Grande. But they both got huge reactions. And they were the baby faces until, you know, obviously building up the match, you knew something would happen with Dominic and Grande by the end. And, you know, they're about 20 minutes in, and Dominic refuses the tag and walks out, and Grande ends up getting pinned by Garza. So if Grande wins the title, you know, you got Garza there, you know, probably being able to get a championship shot maybe. And Dominic joined El Ojo, which is the group with Omos and Dorian Roldan, which makes all the sense in the world, because that group would have nothing to do with nothing, because the big star in that group was Vikingo, and he's out for 9 months. So they needed somebody, and that's the deal. So, you know, the one thing with it has been that is very notable in AAA booking, and is that WWE and AAA, even though they are the same company, and they use the same characters, it's like Dominic is in Judgment Day in WWE, and he's in El Ojo in AAA. Garza is non-existent, basically, in WWE, and he's in Perros del Mal. Carmen Petrovic is not in Perros del Mal in NXT. Lucien Price, Bronco Nima, I should say. Bronco Nima's not. Berto's not.
Actually, like Bronco Nima is.
Well, they acknowledged it.
Yes,
but he's not. He doesn't wear the shirt or anything.
Well, no, but I mean, he could start wearing the shirt because.
But he doesn't.
The storyline is that he joined and
then they forgot it.
No, his partner is very upset about it. They did a storyline 2 weeks in a row now. They keep bringing it up. So
yeah, but he's not wearing the shirt, and it's not like that he's aligned with Angel and Berto or anything, or Carmen, or even
Carmen.
Well, that's
because they're not there.
Carmen Petrick is there every week.
Yeah, but it's acknowledged. So he is a member of Perros del Mal in storyline in NXT, even if he doesn't wear the shirt.
But he's not doing it.
Well, they're starting the storyline, dude. It's just starting. Him and his partner, there's an issue between them because one got into Paris Del Mall, didn't tell the other one about it, and now one's upset about it.
I know they mentioned it.
So there is a storyline going here.
I know that they acknowledge it, but the point is that they don't do it. They're completely different entities. It's not like him and, was Carmen Petrovic go to the ring with them?
No, she's in a different group.
They're in the same group.
But in NXT, she's in a different group.
Oh, well, there's your answer right
okay,
there.
Okay, yes, they're not in the same group on NXT, but they're acknowledged as being in the group on NXT.
That was my entire
point. Whereas on
Raw... That's my point.
On Raw, they never mentioned that Dominic is in any other group on Raw.
That's because it just happened...
You're correct about that.
But that's because it just happened on Saturday, and they're not going to because they're two separate things. You know, they have... Do they acknowledge Dominic as the AAA Mega Champion on Raw? Sometimes, yeah.
Well, yeah, it comes out with a belt.
Sometimes they do, but it's, and he's even defended the title.
Yes.
But of late, it's been, you know, the storylines aren't carrying over, is my point, one side's doing certain storylines, they don't carry over, even though they promote the shows and everything like that. So that's the situation there. It was a pretty heated angle and expected. They weren't, you know, it wasn't like they were going to go into Triple Mania without Dominic turning on him. And, that was the deal. But yeah, man, you know, it's so amazing how good some of these guys are when not held back and how aggressive they can be and everything like that. Even, you know, you know, like it's like the WWE style does hold them back, but they're not doing. It's not like they're doing Lucha Libre whatsoever on in that feud. I mean, they do it like next week. I think it is when they have Rey Fénix against Mini Vikingo. You know, they'll do Lucha Libre in that match, but it's pretty clear that when it comes to their main event style, for all the talk of Lucha Libre, it's not what they're doing.
And Arena Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. So they just announced the show for Friday. Which is a pay per view, by the way, on AEW. My AEW. We knew most of the show anyway, but the main event is going to be Commander and Máscara Dorada, which will be the finals of the Leyenda de Plata. And I did watch the match from Friday night, and it was. It's a pretty great match. It was about 23 minutes, and just, you know, big move, big move, big move, big move, big move, constant, with all this, you know, filled with top guys, and everyone was good and all kinds of amazing stuff. Super heated crowd. The only time the arena shook was about 13 minutes in. They didn't really do it at any other point, but they were going pretty crazy, you know. And I would say, Commander probably was the best guy, although I think that a lot of the stuff with Angel De Oro got over really big, and Templario as well. Super, super match. So anyway, they were the last two. Good finish at the end and everything, and... So they'll meet for the Leyenda de Plata finals, and then a trios match. So when I was talking about the Triple Mania, there's actually is it four feuds right now? Yeah, it's four feuds right now that are going on. It's Mystico and Averno, it's Cavernario and Dragon Rojo Jr. It's Star Jr. and Zondo Khan Jr., and it's Templario and Ultimo Guerrero, who did a singles match last week. And then after that, they were going back and forth wanting a hair versus mask match. So they're not going to do all four. How they do this, I don't know. But anyway, this week, on Friday night, it's going to be Templario, Star Jr., and Dragon Rojo Jr. against Cavernario, Ultimo Guerrero, and Zondo Khan Jr., keeping those other three feuds going, while Mystico, I believe, will be back on the 5th for Grand Slam Mexico. He is definitely going to be back for the Grand Prix on the 7th. And then there's going to be Hechicero and Roderick Strong is the CMLL World Heavyweight title match, so I don't expect a title change there. Persephone and Tessa Blanchard for the women's title, and that's on Friday's show. Tessa pinned her clean in the third fall, so to build that match up, although the match had already been announced weeks ago. And then India Sue and Thunder Rosa for the Mexican national women's title, and then Titan and Neon against Leon Cage and Austin Aries. Austin Aries and Leon Cage, I guess, will be in for the week. They're going to be in the Grand Prix representing MLW for Austin Aries and Revolution Pro for Leon Cage. So a big chance for Leon Cage getting international exposure and international tour.
All right, take us through whatever we got for the ratings.
It's not really a lot. There's just today, just TNA rating came out, 307,000 viewers, 0.05, the best rating in the history of the show since they've been on AMC. And by, other than last week, which did very well, you know, this is way above anything that they've done. I mean, there's collision shows that have done in this number, and not that far back either. You know, only a couple weeks back. Granted, you know, those would have been against like World Cup and you know, real. You know, real much stronger competition, obviously, than there is right now on Thursdays. But for this, but still, real good number. It'll be very interesting this week because you know, Collision and you know, TNA Impact are going head to head, and TNA Impact actually went head to head with WWE's countdown to SummerSlam on ESPN2 and beat it handily too. That did 189,000. Viewers and an 0.03, so you know, they did have other competition. WWE did promote that show on Raw and everything, not super hard, but they absolutely promoted it. I don't know if I, you know, did I expect to do better? Maybe no.
All right, we got NXT tomorrow, which has got Miles Bourne and Cam Hendricks for the NXT North American title. Shiloh Hill and Tristan Angels fighting over the tooth. We got Lizzie Rain versus Izzy Dame, just to irritate Booker T and myself. And OTM will be facing the Birthright. And then the only thing we know for Dynamite, besides Kenny Omega being there, is the Conglomeration versus the Demand.
Kyle O'Reilly. And Willow Nightingale celebration, too.
Willow Nightingale will have a celebration. Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy versus Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona for the AEW World Trios title. The Kyle Fletcher match with Speedball is the following week.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they'll do something with Motor City Machine Guns because they're in Detroit.
They are in Detroit.
Yeah. The, I mean, I don't know.
Masonic Temple Theater.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest surprise on this last pay-per-view was that there were no surprises. I mean, of all those new free agents, not one of them was on that pay-per-view. And maybe, you know, it's like they're in one of them where I would say Tony Khan needs to sign them, but there's plenty that you could look at it and go, he could. He could very well do so. And Motor City Machine Guns being kind of high on that list, actually. So I thought it was interesting, the reaction. I mean, the reaction that I got to the pay-per-view was so different from the, you know, it's like, it's funny because it is like Twitter isn't the real world. Because like Twitter, it's like this was like the worst show ever and all this. And it's like the reaction I got is like very, very favorable. I mean, it probably was the weakest show of the year, which only speaks of how great the shows this year have been. But, I mean, can you imagine 7 years ago? I mean, there were legit four or five matches that would blow away anything on any pay-per-view we would get, maybe one pay-per-view a year from WWE on this one show. I mean, granted, it wasn't all you know, 11. I mean, there was there were two that weren't particularly great. The other nine ranged from real good to outstanding. I think now, I mean, do you need like 11 of 11? because that's I mean, they've come close to that on other shows, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any numbers or anything like that. The you know, live attendance was not particularly great for a AEW pay-per-view, just over 7,000, although it was trending in that direction. I thought they would get a little bit higher, but you know, the reality is Montreal is a French market, and it's a very unique market, and they went in there without a very unique marketing strategy. And you know, I mean, sending Mike Bailey around when he didn't even know what match he had, he wasn't in a major match on the show. I mean, he was on the show, he was in a great match, but you know, it wasn't like it was a major match. And then, you know, bringing in the Rougeaus, which in theory should help, except, you know, they didn't, you know, I mean, Jacques's not very popular there. I mean, that's the key to the whole thing. It's like, Jacques Rougeau used to be super popular there. As the years have gone on, everyone's heard their Jacques stories. And again, like you said, just recently we had him. And it's just like, you know, it was like the wrong year, you know, trying to, you know, Raymond, you know, again, I mean, the Rougeau family was a huge deal there, but Jacques not, and Jacques Sr. has passed away, and Johnny passed away decades ago, and that's where they were the stars. So it was kind of like, it sounded like a nice idea. I know where Tony was coming from, but I don't think he really understood how Jacques is viewed in that city. And you know, it was what it was. The people booted, and you know, and then Jacques went and, you know, whatever, you know, just started telling the fans that they were haters and kiss my ass.
Well, they were, quite frankly.
You know, they were what they were going to be when you're repping that city. So, I mean, you talk to independent wrestlers there. I mean, nobody, I don't say nobody wants to work for Jacques, but once they have for a while, generally they don't want to work for Jacques. And that, you know, the rep's pretty big. So, as you could tell, I mean, they booed the guy real heavily when they were trying to honor his legendary family.
All right, the Raw show was the go-home Raw for SummerSlam, and it was a show. It's about the best I can say for it.
They had a lot of video packages. They pushed a lot. I'll tell you what, that the Danhausen thing and the Mick Foley thing the last two nights have been two of the worst things, really, on television in a long time. The Mick Foley thing. So I guess the story is that, I don't know how this happens, when he's just barking, he thought, they said for him to bow down, and he didn't hear it right, so he thought they said to say bow wow, so he gets there and he goes bow wow, bow wow. I mean, I for the life of me.
Dave, how?
I don't know how.
They didn't go over this one time before going out on a pay-per-view live?
I don't understand.
I find that very hard to believe. And I've seen some weird things in AEW. But okay, you don't even go over it once? How do three people in the wrestling business, one of them being Mick Foley, not even discuss what you're going to talk about pay-per-view?
But what was he doing? He was on his knees going bow, wow, wow. And it's like, what is this all about?
I think he thought it would be funny. And then no one laughed.
Oh, man, it was beyond not funny. I'll tell you what, man. Well, it's WWE. So, you know, I mean, it's like, I know Nick Khan, and I know Nick Khan has very different, very liberal when it comes to bad people if they're famous. And frickin' Ryan Garcia is as bad as, I mean, for all the people that people have gotten mad at in wrestling and want to blacklist out of wrestling, I mean, Ryan Garcia supporting the KKK, you know, and all of the racist stuff that he has said. I don't know. Him, but they signed him for a big boxing match, Zuffa Boxing, and boxing certainly has zero morals. And, I mean, like, You know, I mean, if you're not in jail, you're fair game for WWE, and that's fine. It's a consistent policy. If there's not a conviction, you know, and I think if you're a big enough star, even if there is a conviction, you'd be okay. But man, I was not. I wasn't surprised at it or anything like that. But when I look, I mean, there was outrage. There was outrage to it. So I can't say that there wasn't. But I'll tell you what, if that guy had been on, if he had been on AEW, 10X, easy outrage. You know, I really am starting to think that the outrage stuff is very tribal. But I mean, in fairness, it's like, I mean, my God, you know, I know they're promoting his fight. And that's the deal. And that was their idea of getting publicity and getting him on SportsCenter and getting them in mainstream, because to them, a guy like Ryan Garcia is mainstream, just like for Dana, that, you know, the Tates, you know, Andrew Tate is mainstream. And that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what you've done or anything like that. It's, are you famous? Are you, you know, an influencer? And if you are, cool. And if you're not, you can be a great person. And it doesn't matter because you're not famous enough. So it's very much of a, you know, that's just how it is. But man, I saw that and it was just like, I mean, if Tony Khan had brought in that guy, imagine what would have happened. And to be fair, there were people who complained about it. But, you know, I mean... If it was even close to freaking Adam Page with Marty Scurll, it wasn't one tenth of it. And that's just a picture of a guy. This is, they're putting him right on TV in an angle. And this guy's so much worse that it's not even funny. Oh my God.
Well, the show opened up with an angle. And by the way, the SmackDown Go Home show was far superior to this Go Home show.
SmackDown Go Home show is until Friday.
No, I guess the last week's show. But they did go home for a lot of stuff on last week's show, and it was much better than this. So it opens up with Triple H and Adam Pearce coming down to the ring, and they lower the Hell in a Cell cage, and they're going to have a Brock and Oba weigh-in for a match with no weight limits.
Okay, so why do you, other than the fact that this was their idea for the angle, why do you, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of weigh-ins, and I've never seen, like, a cage surrounding the weigh-in before.
Oh, it gets far worse. So the cage comes down, and out comes Oba Femi. He gets in the cage, gets on the scale. They claim he is 302 pounds, although they don't actually show us. We have to take Pierce's word for it. And then
it's a nice number.
They hit Brock's music, and he comes down to the ring, and he immediately slams the door shut, locks the cage door, and then puts the key in his mouth. Okay? So Oba Femi, and keep in mind, Triple H and Adam Pearce are inside the cage,
yes,
with Oba Femi and police.
And they are stuck.
And Oba Femi is furious, and he's shaking the door. And like, at this point, I'm out of it. Because it's like, raise the fucking cage.
It is so ridiculous.
Raise the cage, and then... Yeah. Like, why are you all trapped in here? You two, Hunter and Pierce, are the ones that lowered it. Say, raise it up. Nope, they can't do that. They're trapped. So Oba's all angry, and then Paul cuts a promo, and his mic dies. And then he gets another promo, and his mic dies again. Now he's getting pissed. He gets a third mic, and he's just cutting this promo about how nobody can beat Brock. Nobody can end his streak of Hell in a Cell wins. He says, by the way, Brock got in a scale in the back. He's 303 pounds. And Triple H is irritated, but he won't tell him to raise the cage. And then Brock leaves, and Oba goes, why don't you run away like you always do? I'm going to kick your ass and blah, blah, blah. So Lesnar leaves, heads up the aisle. Oba gets back in the ring. Remember a few weeks ago they did a segment where Oba Femi killed a bunch of cops?
Right. And then
we all asked, how stupid is this? How does this guy not get arrested? And they explain later that they were fake cops hired by Paul.
And Oba knew it. Okay.
Well, this week, they're real cops.
Yeah.
Oba kills them.
He's not arrested.
There's no ramifications whatsoever.
You're not arrested.
He's not shot at. He's not detained.
Never brought up again.
Don't hit him with a stick. He just beats all these guys up. And as he's beating them up, Michael Cole has to go, I hope Lesnar is witnessing this. I'm like, the fucking guy's right there.
And here, the thing is Adam Pearce and Levesque are there, and they're not calming him down.
This sucks.
I mean, when I saw that, it was like, I mean, they're not even making a move. It's like, why do they have to be cops? If you just had them be security guards, we would all just go, okay, they're the flunky security guards that we see all the time. But they had literally just done an angle with fake police where they had to explain to us they were fake police. And then this time, which is the only way it made sense before. So this time, they actually bring unfake police that are fake police, and they don't even bother to explain it. I mean, it's like in their own rules that they just set up like 2-3 weeks ago. I mean, I'm just watching this going like, okay, is he getting arrested? No. Why are Pearce and Levesque just standing there doing nothing? I mean, if it's real police, right? Aren't they going to want to keep him like out of jail and not, risk their biggest money match on the weekend because this guy's gone crazy and he's beating all these police up? No, we just have to sit there and come up with our own explanation as to why this happened and why there's no ramifications. It's just like, I'm not a fan of wrestling angles where you rely on the fans to, well, we don't really have a story for you, so just come up with one yourself. I remember years ago, a wrestling promoter who did not last very long promoting wrestling. I was out to dinner with him, and he was laughing about like a storyline that made absolutely no sense. And he just goes, well, the great thing about wrestling is that the fans will come up with their own explanation as to why it makes sense, and we don't have to. And that guy was out of business within a year because it's like back then that didn't fly. I mean, today, yeah, it flies because it's WWE and all that, but I still find it to be absolutely like lazy, whatever, lazy, just bad, inconsistent, bad booking, you know.
So then
bad
Roman...
bad creative. I don't want to say bad booking because actually that's booking's a completely different thing. Bad creative.
So then we have Roman arriving. And then we had Otis and Tozawa against Bron Breakker and Austin Theory. And I will say one thing. I mean, this Bron Breakker, man, he loves to sell for Otis. Otis, he just kills this guy. And Bron bumps all over the place for him. And they end up cutting him off and... Bron posts Otis outside, Murs Tozawa with the spear, they get the pin, and then they double-team Tozawa afterwards. Otis returns, he makes a save, but Maxine distracts him once again. Heels jump him, double powerbomb, Bron spears him to death, leaves him for dead.
That's it.
That's it, I guess.
That's it. They got their match. They didn't get a title match. That's the deal. The match was fine. You know, it's fine.
Jack interviews LA Knight, who vowed to put the bloodline in the ground at SummerSlam. Raquel and Sol did promos for the Intercontinental title match tonight. We had a long Chad Gable promo about the match with Penta. We had a long Io Sky promo about the match with Liv. Three straight. And then, this is actually...
Well, I will say this. I thought that Chad Gable's one was actually pretty good, but most of those quick promos did nothing for me at all. You know, I mean, it's like they did them, but they, you know, they weren't that exciting or anything. But Chad, at least, you know, they had a little story behind it, him going for the championship in Minnesota, in Minneapolis in particular, in the state. They pushed the state of Minnesota where he's from. I thought that was well done.
So then this was like, I don't know who put the show together, but we had a heel beat down with Otis. Then we had a commercial. Then we had an interview. Then we had three straight video packages. Then we had another commercial. And then when they came back, it's Rusev and Javon, and it starts with just Rusev killing this guy. I was like, oh my God, we need to wake this crowd up. So thankfully, Javon made a quick comeback, then got killed again. Rusev got a bunch of heat. And then they had a spot where Javon hit his red dot kick, and I think like his laces or something must have got Rusev in the eye. Because, like, Rusev went down, and he's, like, putting his hands up like this, and then he rolled outside, and the ref goes to check on him, and they don't show him for a good 30 seconds. The match just stops. And then he got back in the ring and kept going. And they finished off the match, And Rusev goes for the kick. Javon avoids it. Kip up stunner. OG cutter gets the pin. So basically, they did the gauntlet match they did a couple of weeks ago where Rusev beat him. They tried to do the exact same match all the way down to Javon fighting out of the accolade twice. And this time they let Javon win, which probably should have done the first time, but such is life.
I thought the last minute was very good. The rest was, it was fine. It was fine. I didn't blow me away or anything like that. The one thing I've really noticed is Javon is slowing down a lot, which is good if you're not Javon Evans. It's great if you're Randy Orton. When your whole gimmick relies on speed and they're telling you to slow down, it makes you one of everyone. I mean, he's didn't really stand out. It was a guy there. He did really cool stuff at the end, and great at, you know, he's a great athlete, you know, especially there, because, you know, it's not like it's a promotion where you have a whole bunch of guys like him. So he can stand out a lot more. Like in a sense, he would be better off with his athletic skills in AEW, except in AEW, there's 20 guys, you know. In WWE, there's only him and Dragon Lee. And Rey Fénix, who they don't use, you know, so he is more unique there, but they don't take advantage of his strengths nearly as much. They do more than Dragon Lee, and they do more than Rey Fénix, I'll just say that, but it's like, you know, he's moving a lot slower than he was moving before, trying to keep it at that WWE pace, and that's not the best pace for him, but it's their pace.
Then we had the Danhausen Joe Hendry concert.
This was so bad.
Besides the issue with Ryan Garcia, even if he wasn't involved, the issue with this was that it's one thing, you got Danhausen and you got Joe Hendry, and especially because Danhausen was involved. It's one thing when you do something and you play it for laughs, and it's another when you have a guy like Danhausen, but you actually try to do a real concert. And like, they're out there singing a song, they're doing a duet, and yes, they had the mini Housens in there, and they had some lady Housens from the LA Clippers dancing, but like, they tried to do like a legitimate performance, and it was roundly abhorred. The crowd just sat there like, what the fuck is going on?
It went way too long. But I mean, one of the things is that it was like, you know, it was bad. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's like, I remember like when if I would see a concert with somebody and they were better than these guys, I don't want to say anything bad about Hendry. He's good. But Danhausen, you know, it's like, I think they think that anything they do with him is gold right now. And, you know, they're overexposing him badly because they think everything is gold with him. You know, because he got ESPN coverage with the Knicks run. But, you know, it was, I mean, it's bad music and people knew it. You know, it was long enough to where it was exposed. If they did it for a shorter period, maybe, you know, it wouldn't have, they did it for too long. And I think that that's really what killed it. And then freaking Ryan Garcia, it's just like,
Ryan Garcia joins in with the LA Clippers dancers for a conga line. And then he gets in the ring and he hits Hendry with a guitar. He's in cahoots with Dom and JD, and they destroy the mini Housens. They squish Danhausen. And Michael Cole said, why did Ryan Garcia do this?
Because he's trying to get publicity for his fight with Conor Benn.
I thought he just watched the concert. One way or the other, this was not good.
No.
Ethan Page and Rey Mysterio. So this was a good match.
Yeah.
Ethan Page is excellent. Rey was great. You know,
Rey was great.
They had a very, very good big man, little man, back and forth match. They did make a very interesting point here that Rusev and Ethan Page had been trying to unmask everybody of late. So I wonder if they'll do like a double mask versus double hair match at some point. Like Rusev and Paige putting their hair on the line against Rey and Dragon Lee. That would have actually been a really good match for SummerSlam. But no such match is happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ethan ends up, he's like draped over the ropes. Rey goes for a 619. Ethan, this was the only problem with the match. Ethan blocks it with the ring skirt.
Yeah.
Which is like paper thin. I don't know how this works.
How does that block the 619?
It doesn't. And so then he sent him into the post, egoplex for the pin. Technically, this was a clean pin over Rey. So that's a big win. And it was good. Way to live promo about the EO match. And then Pierce meets with Danhausen backstage. And Danhausen's in his lair. And there's a doctor there who's tending to these Minihausens. And Pierce comes in. He goes, what the hell am I looking at? And he goes, Danhausen, this is it. You got to give Dom his money back. And Danhausen says, no. And then he goes, wait. Put it on a pole. And Pierce goes, what? And Danhausen goes, haven't you ever watched wrestling? Put it on a pole. And so Pierce goes, all right, fine, it's official. And so it's
When was the last time they did one of those stupid pole matches?
Well, as Corey Graves told Michael Cole, it's just like with Judy. So that's remembered.
That's 28 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
That was so long ago. It's like, granted, it was one of the stupider things in wrestling history, but, you know, I don't know. Sometimes when you do the really stupid things, one of the things like you try to learn from is don't do it again. Isn't that like the when something flops really bad, isn't that like the big learning lesson? Okay, this flopped, don't do it again. Not saying, I mean, they're not analogous exactly. It's not like they're putting Judy Bagwell on a pole, but I mean, It's been a long time. It's like I think they assume too much knowledge or something, you know, because they pole matches, while they exist and everything like that, they're not, I don't know. They haven't been that commonplace in years.
And we had the Usos coming out for a promo, and they started building up the match, and Solo comes through the crowd and cuts a promo on these guys, and Jimmy's like, let's get over these jokes. You need to listen to the tribal chief and run the play. And Solo goes, or else what? You're going to yeet for 30 minutes? Going to shake your arms when everyone is asleep? He goes, I'm very happy where I'm at. And you know what? These people in L.A., they love where I'm at as well. And this Solo babyface thing is just bizarre. But you know what? They chanted Solo. Yeah, and L.A. Knight came out, and those two hit the ring. They start getting beaten down. Fatu's music comes out. He's beating him up 2-on-1, basically. Royce Keys run down. He ends up helping the babyfaces crush all the heels, clean the ring. And it was. Here's the thing I'll say. I can't say it was great.
Good. It was good.
But
it
is very difficult to make a random six-man feel like it is worthy of being on SummerSlam. And I think that they have done the best they can to make you feel that way about this match.
It was fine. It's a match. They've done angles for the match. I don't know what else you could really say. I mean, it's just weird because it's like the Usos are supposed to be the heels here, but they come out and all they do is try to get you to do the dance, you know, for a long period of time. And then you're trying to get them to cheer the other people, although it kind of worked. You know, they were cheering both sides. So I guess it's fine. It's just kind of weird, you know, to try to make the Usos into heels while at the same time, they're not heels. But I guess that's kind of modern wrestling anyway.
We had the Hell in a Cell video package and then Raquel versus Sol Ruka for the Women's Intercontinental title. And very early, Sol goes up top, hits a moonsault off the post, and whatever happened, she destroyed Raquel's nose on the catch. And yeah. Raquel gets in the ring. She's freaking bleeding everywhere. And they kept the match going because there was going to be a title change. And Sol made her big comeback. And then, man, can they give the House of Torture to Evil and just keep it in NXT? This was a total House of Torture finish. Roxanne runs down. She gets into the ring, distracts the referee. Liv trips up Sol on the outside. Raquel hits her with a boot. Io Sky runs down with music to make the save. Liv goes after her. Roxanne is dead outside. Raquel goes after Io. Sol hits a code breaker. Liv and Io get in a fight on the apron in front of the referee. I realize they're not in the match, but it's preposterous at this point. Yep. Roxanne then drops Sol across the post. And I will say the moment she did that, the crowd just all of a sudden they went crazy because they went, oh my God, Raquel's about to win the title. And
yeah,
in fact,
title change.
She hit the Tejano bomb. She got the pin. They went crazy. And I got to say, like, you know, nothing against her. I like her. But Sol's title reign, absolute great big nothing. It was
agreed.
Nothing.
Agreed. Didn't do anything at all. They did that spot. There's another thing, too, in this match. It was like there were issues in the match. Usually it was Raquel just... They were at different speeds. Sol works at one speed, Raquel works at another. And it was really, like, it made Raquel look really slow in a lot of spots. There was the spot where he did, what was that guy's name? It doesn't matter who the guy was. The cartwheel DDT spot. Which
She's done that for a long time.
Yeah, she does the cartwheel DDT spot. And Raquel totally mistimed it to make what's usually a great-looking spot look just amateurish. Because... You know, your job is to go down when she does the DDT, and Raquel, like, takes it, and she doesn't go down at all until later, and she hesitates, and it just looked terrible.
Well, we got a new Women's Intercontinental Champion, which is kind of interesting, as Liv goes into the match with Io. Because I figured that Liv was going to win because she lost to Io in Queen of the Ring, but... Honestly, the better story is she loses her title and Raquel has hers. So I guess we'll see what happens.
I think they could go either way with it. I mean, my gut is they'll go with Morgan. You know, I think that they like having her. It's kind of like a, you know, she's got star power and everything like that. I think that they like her in that spot. But Io could win, you know. Io kind of needs something to do.
Then we had Roman and Seth coming out for their face-to-face.
Man, did that take a long time.
Entrances and standing around was a good 10 minutes. And then when it finally started, Seth just, like, became a total asshole. He's just making fun of this guy, and I beat your ass here, I beat your ass there. Everybody has seen in these video packages how I beat your ass. How's it going to be different at SummerSlam? You're going to get DQ'd. You're going to get your ass kicked. You know, you said that, you wanted to beat me for your family. Well, you know what? Your family, they're going to go out there and they're going to find out that you're a fraud. Your daddy is a fraud, he said. Your daddy is a loser, and their daddy will forever be Seth Rollins' bitch. So, of course, Roman can take no more. And he clobbers this guy, stomps a mud hole in him, spears him, goes outside, slides into the ring with a chair, but as he's sliding, Seth stomps the chair into his head, which was very well-timed.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, he laid him out, and... I mean, I just, like... The Gunther thing, when it was over, I was like, I'm way more into that match now than I was before. All this stuff they've done with these guys, all the video packages, weeks of promos, it's like I'm exactly where I was weeks ago, which is I don't care. It's 2026. It's Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. They broke up 11 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was. It's like it's time to move on. It's time to move on, which they even acknowledged in one of the promos. Mm-hmm. Like, we're old. It's our last chance.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it is the last chance. So not blown away. Not blown away by that at all. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've done good promo work. The thing with me that's it's getting old is the delaying with Roman Reigns. It's like I know it's coming, but it's like it's genuinely I was watching with some people and tonight and I was kind of explaining why they're waiting for the crowd, and it's like, man, he's really good at getting the crowd to react. And he's great, Roman Reigns. He's great. His facial expressions and the way he hesitates, and it's actually like textbook stuff to learn from to a degree. After a while, people are just looking at us. They put this on TV every week. I go, yeah. this is really boring. It's like, yes, there comes a point where they do it so much. And for me, watching it every week, yes, he is absolutely a great performer at standing there and keeping the crowd going for a long time and knowing how to get them louder and louder. He's great, but it was boring. You know, it may work inside the building, but when you see it week after week on TV, you know, I mean, I guess maybe go, well, he's a superstar, and he is. He's a superstar. He's a big star in the company and all that. But, oh, man, it got, to me, it crossed the line into boring. And Seth does the same thing. You know, once they got going and everything, they're good talkers. I like their verbiage for the most part, because it's, they're not out there cutting your typical pro wrestling promo, and they're trying to get personal to a degree. Not really that, you know. It's all right. They try to use history. History doesn't always, like, bear it out. You know, it's fine, but, you know, I think that I think they got to tighten up aspects of the show, because it's aspects just get boring,
excruciatingly long.
Yeah,
not sure if this question was asked on the show with Garrett, but this person wants to know: can AEW run Barclays?
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
He says, I know WWE has a relationship with Madison Square Garden.
We know they couldn't get into the Garden. They've never gotten into Barclays.
Folks have claimed that there are blackout dates that prevent AEW from running a show at Barclays within X amount of days of a WWE show.
Oh, yeah, there's always that in any arena. In any arena that they run, WWE has clauses where certain number of days before and a certain number of days after, you can't run another wrestling show. Yeah, and you can't publicize a show within a certain window. So WWE may run the place enough to where they can't get a date in between based on the contract, which is different from the Garden. Like, if they didn't run the Garden, they still, you know, for a while, the AEW still couldn't get in. You know, I mean, they've tried, and they haven't. They may not have tried in a long time, but they absolutely. I mean, the goal was, the very first episode of Dynamite was supposed to be in MSG, or not supposed to be, but they had a verbal discussion of having the very first Dynamite in Madison Square Garden. It was actually Madison Square Garden that contacted them. They didn't contact the Garden. And then well before the show, it was like, yeah, you know what? Kind of got rescinded. The person who was negotiating with them, their higher-ups told them to give the message to Tony, yeah, we're not going to book you for this thing. The Garden did book AAA. I mean, I remember that. And then they ended up moving it to the theater because they couldn't sell enough tickets. They booked the first New Japan, but that was because of the Sinclair lawyers threatened to sue. And I think if Tony threatened to sue, maybe yes, maybe no. The thing with the Sinclair thing is they gave him a date. I mean, it was like the date was there, and then Levesque called up and pulled it after they already had the date. So in court, you know, they were going to get their ass kicked in court, so they just gave him the date. And then because Ring of Honor was working with New Japan, and it was 2018 when this was going down, and so people assumed it was going to be, and it was, the original main event for that show was going to be Okada and Omega. So it sold out, you know, in like 3 days. I think it was 3 days when it sold out, but it was basically an instant sellout. And because of that success, New Japan did get a second date. They couldn't, when New Japan wanted a second date in that building, you know, it'd be pretty hard to go in there and go, oh, well, golly gee, you sold out in three days, and you did like one of the biggest gates in the history of the Madison Square Garden wrestling, and we're going to turn you down for another date. So they did get it, but then COVID hit, and you know, they didn't run that date, and New Japan didn't even try again because they knew that the popularity wasn't there to where they could have profitably run the building.
All right, everybody. On that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. Dave and I are going to be back on Wednesday, AWNXT. We were up last night as well with the full recap of Redemption. And a lot of stuff up on the front page as well. So check it out. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.